Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's listen again to these first words of our Lord from our gospel reading today in Luke chapter 14. Now, great crowds had accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Well, on this Labor Day weekend, we celebrate a can-do attitude of the American worker that built this great nation of ours. And these days, with all the advances in technology, it seems like there's almost nothing that we cannot do. So, given that can-do attitude, I wanted to ask you something this morning. What is it that you did to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? I mean, seriously, how did you do that? Because you are his disciple, clearly. You are here with his church gathered together. You just confessed faith in Christ. You will dine at his table. You are a Christian. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. But how did you do that? Because if you're like me, and I read these words, I don't measure up. You don't measure up to this standard of discipleship that Jesus has laid out for us today in this gospel. Did you hear what he said? That if you don't hate your father and your mother, your wife, your child, and even your own life, you cannot be his disciple. So, I ask again, how did you do it? What did you do that you became his disciple? And let's even allow for the fact that the word hate here does not mean what we think it usually means. The Lord is not here telling us to despise our family members so much that we would wish harm to them. No, clearly not. He himself said, if anyone hates his brother, he's a liar. So that's not what Jesus intends. And he's not saying that, you know, you should loathe your own life so much that you would even consider ending it, something like that. Clearly, that's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus intends. But when he uses the word hate, he is using what we would call an exaggerated contrast. It's a literary device that was common in ancient literature. You make your point with this overblown contrast of extremes. So, for example, Genesis says that Jacob hated his wife, Leah. Now, it's not that he despised Leah. He had children with her. It just makes the point that by this exaggerated contrast that Jacob loved Rachel so much more. And so when Jesus says that you are to hate your family members, it doesn't mean despise them. But by means of this exaggerated contrast, he is teaching us that our love of God is supposed to be above all things, a love so big that it makes every other love of your life look like hatred by comparison. A love for God so big that we would choose faithfulness to him over peace with our families. That we would even forfeit our very lives rather than fall away from Jesus Christ. And so that's why I'm asking you, even that is a tall order. How did you get past all of that to become a disciple of Jesus Christ? I mean, really, can any of us say that we have loved God with a love so big that it makes all the other loves of our lives look like hatred by comparison? Can we honestly say that we've always put God ahead of our families, or ahead of our own personal interests, or ahead of our finances? That we have always done the righteous thing instead of the easy thing or the convenient thing? Can any of us here say, hold up a hand if you can say this, that you have always spoken His truth in love even when it meant risking a relationship? Can we honestly say, can anyone honestly say that you're always more concerned about what God thinks of you than you are what your friends think of you? And then Jesus tells us, take up your cross, follow Him. But haven't all of us at times, put down the cross because we were embarrassed to say that we belong to Jesus, afraid of what others might think about us or what faithfulness might cost us in this world? Haven't we all compromised our Christian faith and our values to avoid conflict and hardship? So, I ask again, how did you do it? If you cannot be a disciple of Christ unless you love God with a love so big that it makes all the other loves of life look like hatred by comparison, how is it that you became a disciple and have remained a disciple? Or, I don't know, maybe the answer is that you haven't. Maybe we're all just fooling ourselves, calling ourselves disciples of Christ when clearly we aren't. Because that's what the world would say about us. You're just hypocrites. You call yourself a Christian, but you don't act like it. Man, does that sting? Because it's true. Honestly, I'm no better than the next guy. In fact, in some ways, maybe I'm even worse. Because I call myself a Christian, a disciple. But I don't live up to that name. Oh, and the devil? Oh, he loves to throw this stuff in your face. You're a Christian? You got to be kidding me. And I can prove it using Jesus' own words. You call yourself a disciple? That's laughable. If any contrast in your life is true, it's that your love of this world makes your love of God look puny in comparison. You're like that unsalty salt that Jesus talks about that's not even good anymore for the manure pile. Ow. You know, but if we're even halfway honest with ourselves, we know He's right. Now, there are a lot of preachers who would preach this text like a pep talk. Because that's just the way a lot of the preaching is these days. You know, come on, Christian, you can do this. You can be the disciple that Jesus wants you to be. You just got to work a little harder at it, a little more faith. You got to discipline yourself a little bit more. Follow a few more biblical principles, and you'll do it. You can do this, and you'll measure up. As if this is attainable. But that is not the effect that these words have on me. For me, frankly, what these words do is to show me I'm never going to measure up. I mean, not even close. Hate your father and your mother and your wife and child and your own life? Always God first? These are hard words, and they are uncompromising. And they do not stir up in me a can-do attitude, but they convict me. And they crush me. And they condemn me. But, you know what I say to that? I say, thank you, Mr. Devil. Thank you for reminding me of this truth by the words of Jesus. Oh, devil, you would use the words of Jesus to try to pull me away from Jesus. But you are His useful idiot. Oh, you want to make me think that I can clean up my act. And that would be self-righteousness, in which case I don't need a Savior. Or you're trying to make me think that there's no hope for me. That's despair, in which case there is no Savior. But Satan, all you have accomplished is to drive me right back into the arms of Jesus in repentant faith. And I'm here today at His table, and I'm here at His house because I know that what You say about me is true. And I'm here to repent. And I'm here to find my life and my discipleship not in me or my efforts, but in Jesus and in His efforts. Because that is how Jesus means for us to hear these words. He who has an ear, let him hear. So I'm going to listen to Him, not to you, devil. And that's the ace I have up my sleeve. Or maybe I should say that's the word I have from His mouth to my ear. Because the first thing that I heard that made me a disciple had nothing to do with how good I was or no pep talk about, you can do better. That's not what made me a disciple. The first thing I heard that made me a disciple was this: I baptize you. That's how I became a disciple. It's not what I did. It's what God did for me in my baptism, giving me faith, connecting me to the death and the resurrection of Jesus, washing me clean. He took me off the manure pile, and He made me His own child. How about that, you devil? Oh, and devil, you are right. I sure haven't lived that way. I have fallen more times than I care to count. I don't think hell has a calculator big enough to keep track of all the times I have fallen. But you know what Jesus says to that? He doesn't say, you got to get your act together. You got to start doing better. Oh, no. He says, I forgive you. And that's what keeps me His disciple. Not my efforts to self-improve, but His forgiving mercy and His infinite grace. Oh, devil, you are so good at using Jesus' words against me, telling me by these words, there's no way you could be His disciple because clearly you have not lived up to this standard. And sometimes you're messing with my head and you actually get me to start doubting. Because you know how weak and stupid and vulnerable I am. But remember, devil, you once tried this same deception against Jesus. Do you remember that? I'm sure you do. He was on the cross. And you told Him through all of those mockers, there's no way you can be the Son of God or build the kingdom of God. Not from a cross. And you told Him that failure is spelled J-E-S-U-S. And that the picture in the dictionary that illustrates the word failure is a picture of Him crucified. Jesus, the ultimate quintessential failure. But what happened, Mr. Devil? He shut your filthy mouth, didn't He? And He rose up from the dead to live again and descended into hell to proclaim His victory right there in the presence of all your demons. Satan, you're like a gun without ammunition. You're a sheath without a sword. You're all bark, no bite, because my sins are forgiven. And there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, verse 1, my death has been defeated, and neither it nor you have any hold on me. And then here's the kicker, you devil. Jesus shuts your mouth, but He opens mine. And you know what He puts in? The very body and blood that Jesus gave and shed for me. Yeah, oh yeah, devil, that same body and blood that you thought was dead and decomposing in the tomb, it didn't. But it's here right now, in, with, and under the bread and the wine, imparting life and salvation according to the words and the promises of Christ. And I am risen with Him. He has pulled me up from death to life. He made me His disciple. And because this thing, this stuff that I can't do, this love God with a love that makes all other loves look like hatred by comparison, I can't do that. But Jesus did it for me and you. And now His righteousness is upon us like a gleaming white garment, spotless, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, and we are holy in His sight, His holy church. And that's how we became disciples. He became sin for us, and then in exchange He gave us His righteousness. So, devil, from now on, I am going to do my level best in the strength of Christ's love and with the encouragement of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to do my best to live the disciple's life. Deny myself, love God with the biggest love of all, because I am Christ's disciple by His dying and His doing and His rising and His calling. I'm going to try. I'm going to go out there this week and I'm going to try to be the best disciple of Christ that I can be. And I'm not going to give up, because I realize that is so important for my witness to Christ as I seek to carry out His commission to my family and my friends and my community. And because, oh yes, I will fail again, and because you, devil, you're going to keep accusing me, I'm going to keep coming back here, right into the arms of Jesus. And I'm going to receive His pardon and His body and His blood and His strength and His mercy. And then I'm going to rise up from here and I'm going to go out again and I'm going to keep trying, telling others what Jesus has done for me to make me His disciple. So do you see, dear children of God, it wasn't you after all. How did you do that? What did you do to become a disciple and remain a disciple? That's the wrong question. You didn't. You couldn't. I couldn't. But He can. And He did. What's impossible for us is possible for Christ. You are who He says you are. You are whom He made you to be, who He called you to be, whom He redeemed you to be. You are His disciple. Not because you can, but because He can. So, now, go out and love God with the biggest love of all. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. And never let the devil tell you anything but that you are His disciple. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.